It was a dark and thundery night in the big city. The lights of the city were bright enough that you couldn't tell the lighting from the blinking signs advertising to the people on the street what type of services they were able to provide at the wrong side of 12 a.m. What was I doing on the wrong side of 12 a.m.? Getting help. I was still dressed from an important function I had to go to earlier in the evening. My dirty blonde hair escaped from my black cassock and draped over my pale-skinned, bare shoulders. The cocktail dress I wore was a black number that barely concealed the straps of my bra, holding up my firm breasts. The dress clung to the curves of my body and was short enough to reveal the tops of my stockings, depending on how I moved or sat. This was ended with shiny, high-heeled shoes. I had to look the part of the rich socialite, even though I was still in mourning over the loss of my wife. There was no evidence, but everyone assumed I had something to do with her disappearance, as everyone assumed she was dead. I no longer held any hope for her survival, but I was not to be believed. Then my driver spoke and let me know that we were there.
Thank you. No, you don't need to see me inside. I think it's safe enough.
He opened the door for me and I made my way into the building. This detective was supposed to be the best detective in town, but for the best detective in town, he kept weird hours and could possibly have gotten a better place to do business. The elevator was out of order, so I climbed my way to the third floor of the building where I found the detective's office. He had clearly gone all in for the hard-boiled motif. The office was lit mostly by the lights of the city coming through the window. The air was a mix of cigar smoke and marijuana. What he did in his own time was his business. I saw an orange-red light of a flame show up behind the desk from the cigar he was smoking. He sat there, leaning back in his chair, his eyes drinking in the sight of me. He was at least dressed semi-professionally in a long-sleeve shirt, slightly wrinkled. The tie around his neck was undone. He had his feet on the desk, showing shined wingtips and nicely pressed slacks. All he was missing was a fedora and overcoat to finish the ensemble when I noticed both hanging on a nearby coat rack.
"Hello, Detective. I need your help."
He took the cigar from his mouth and put it on a nearby ashtray, motioning to the chair and offering me a drink.
"Yes, thank you. I appreciate you seeing me at this late hour."
He pulled out two glasses and a bottle of amber liquid. He poured into both, one glass double the amount of the other, and gave me the smaller of the two.
"I don't know how much you heard on the news, but I'm in a bind, and no one will believe me. I'm afraid the DA is going to try and set up some charges against me to show that they're at least doing something about my wife's disappearance."
I took a sip of the drink. It was sharp and smooth on my tongue at the same time. As cheap as the surroundings were, he spared no expense on the bourbon.
"That's just it. I gave them every detail of my life so they could investigate whoever they want. They talked to my staff, my former lover, my... Oh, yes, I had a lover. My wife knew and supported me with having a lover. Oh, while I loved my wife, there were certain things she was unable to give me. Sexually. She understood, as long as we took every opportunity to share a bed together, as she was an important businesswoman and a CEO. Oh, as far as I know, she was faithful to me. In fact, I told her that as long as she told me that it happened, she could have other lovers when she was away on business. Oh, yes, I told the police about this, but they could find no leads in that regard."
"Why a former lover?"
"He couldn't handle the pressure of the investigation and left. A woman in my position has to be careful. My lawyer doesn't know I'm here. He's hiring his own detectives, but they're not coming up with anything. Most of them work with the police, so their views seem like they might be tainted. I just need evidence to show that I am innocent.
I had crossed and uncrossed my legs multiple times during this explanation to check to see if he was actually going to be listening to me, or if this was just some type of fantasy to him. He looked me in the eyes the whole time. His eyes never drifted between my legs.
Will you help? Price is no object, I... Oh, what do you mean this case isn't worth your time? Why? Come on, you're retired? Why were you willing to see me if you're retired? Then why do you even keep an office space if you're retired? You're a writer now. Have you published anything? What if you get out of retirement, I set you up with an agent? I even have friends at the New Yorker if you don't want to publish a novel. I'm basically giving you an open checkbook for whatever you need. I looked into you and saw various cases. You found main evidence to help put the right people in jail or save people's livelihoods on cases that were lost causes or...
Was he seriously turning me down? I needed his help. I just couldn't take it anymore. I started to cry. Not simply cry, but ugly cry. Everything came crashing down and I couldn't help it. He up and came around his desk and handed me a handkerchief. A motherfucking handkerchief.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I was hoping I could hold it together, but I think the booze stopped me from doing that. Oh no, I'm not accusing you of getting me drunk, but I barely had anything alcohol since my wife disappeared. I've had to keep things together and be strong while stones and arrows have been unjustly fired in my direction. Oh, I don't know what to do anymore. If you don't help me, I don't know what will happen. I might be in jail or dead. I just need help. I need that too. Are you offering?
Oh. When I jokingly agreed that I needed to get laid, he kissed me. Oh God, his kiss was wonderful. The slight tang on his lips of the alcohol and the flavor of his cigar hit me with a soft, gentle, wet touch. I found myself grabbing him and pulling him in. I'd been without someone for 6 months, going home to an empty bed every night, hoping that my wife would be there. I could trust no one to take part in pleasures that only another person could give, so I accepted his touch. His hands were strong and powerful. I stood up, our bodies tangling in each other's arms, and words I never expected to say came out.
Oh, God. Bite me. Bite me right here on my neck. Yes.
That seemed to show him that he had permission to be rough. I needed to be treated like a sex object, being used for pleasure, to bring my own pleasure.
Do you have condoms? If you fuck me without a condom, you have to come out of retirement.
Well, that was easy. I probably would have let him fuck me anyway, because I was that much in need, but I needed someone who was on my side, and this would show how much I trusted him too. He unzipped my dress, reeling my black bra and panties, and pushed me onto his desk.
No, no, don't. Another time for that. Just push them to the side and fuck me.
He unbuckled his belt, unzipped his pants, and took out his cock. It was long and thick and just what I needed right now. He didn't shove my panties to the side, though. He slid them down my long, stockinged legs, slowly with one hand, as he ran his fingers over my slit until he found my hood and started rubbing my clit.
Your belt. Give me your belt.
I took his belt and put it behind his waist, holding on to both ends to give me more leverage and control. I needed it deep, and as soon as I grabbed both ends of the belt, he tightly pressed his cock into me.
Oh, fuck. I need this.
I flexed my arms, because I was not going to have any of this going slow shit. I needed to be fucked, and I needed to make him understand I wanted it hard and fast. I put my legs on his shoulders and leaned forward, ripping down the front of my bra to expose my tits as he manhandled them with his lips and fingers.
Yes, 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 keep doing that.
His mustache and beard were soft and scratchy at the same time, giving a new texture to the feeling of our union.
Oh, oh God, you're so fucking deep. Keep pounding me. Keep fucking pounding me, please.
I took my legs from his shoulders and wrapped them around his hips, his back arching and pushing against me, the belt giving me even more leverage with my legs. He gave a growl that shook my core.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Oh, you like that I'm fucking back? I'm not just some tame little lady that gets taken. Oh, fuck me. Fuck me. Fuck me.
I let go of the belt and ripped open his shirt, buttons flying everywhere, which caused him to lean down and kiss me. As our lips locked, all I could do was dive into the sensations. I yanked and tugged at his shirt because I wanted bare flesh against mine. When I felt his chest against mine and my hands against the skin of his back, I cried out and clawed my fingernails over his back. There was too much pleasure racking my body, and I started to come. I wrapped my legs around him as tight as I could. His hips were now just locked so deeply that he couldn't escape, and I didn't stop him from lifting me off the desk, pounding into the small of my back, down on the desk repeatedly. I thrashed my head back and forth, shouting that I was coming over and over again. I was clawing his back like an animal with every thrust, every slam, squeezing him like a vice with my legs, and my cunt, and he exploded inside me, racking through a new set of sensations as I was filled with his warmth. All I could do was gasp, give a low, guttural moan, grabbing his head and kissing him passionately, because this is what I needed. He tried to pull away, and I clung to him.
Oh, no, no, please. I need this. I need to hold you. I need to be held. I need this. Why can't we be like this all night? Oh, you should have thought about that before you put me over your desk. Can you start my case tomorrow? I need you tonight. I'll have my driver take us to your place. Oh, I guess I'll get up then. Do you provide this service with all your female clients or just me? Oh, I'll send you over a new shirt. Where did you get it? I'll send you over an actual, real shirt then, and not something from Target.
Oh, Leo, you can go home. The detective will be escorting me to his place for the evening to further discuss the case. I'll Uber home in the morning. Good night.
I'm just tired. Oh, I literally just want to be held tonight, okay? I just miss being held. Thank you for taking the case. Oh, zip me up, please. Oh, I don't want to be here all night.
I'll just answer your other questions in the car, but when we get to your place, no questions about this until morning. I just want to sleep. Where's my hat? Well, turn on the... Oh, never mind.
I took his fedora off the top of his head and put it on my own head.
Escort a lady down the stairs to your car. I assume you're writing detective novels with women with gowns that never end and curves for days. What do you mean, horror erotica?